This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Before 1973, having an abortion was highly dangerous. Women turned to men who were not doctors. Some abortionists and doctors sexually abused women. Organized crime got in on the action and charged exorbitant prices or at-home methods that landed many in the hospital and some in the morgue. That is where the Janes stepped in. Formed in Chicago in the late 1960s, the Janes were an underground organization of women committed to providing safe, affordable, and sometimes free abortions, all while avoiding the detection of the authorities. Word of mouth led the women to know to call Jane if they needed help. Thanks to their bold and brave work, according to a new documentary, the Janes provided an estimated 11,000 abortions before they were shut down by the police in 1972. The HBO and HBO Max documentary, The Janes, spotlights the women involved in the organization, a more timely story than ever, as the leaked draft of a Supreme Court decision indicates we may be soon living in a world without Roe v. Wade protections. The Janes will screen on May 26 at 7 p.m. as part of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival and will be available to stream as part of the festival from May 20th to 26th. Then the film would debut on HBO and HBO Max on June 8th at 9 p.m. It is definitely a great film to watch. Joining me now to discuss the film are its directors, Tia Lesson. Hi, Tia.
Hi.
And
Thanks so much for having us on.
Of course. And Emma Pildes. Hi, Emma.
Hi, Allison.
So, Emma, you are from Chicago, right?
I am from Chicago, yes.
Had you heard anything about the Janes growing up?
Yes. Well, I have a family connection to the story. So I had long known about the Janes. Daniel Arcana, who's another producer on the film and also happens to be my brother, when Trump got into office, he said, we need to mobilize and pull this story literally out of our own backyard. So that's where it started.
Are you comfortable sharing the connection?
Sure. Daniel's my half brother. Daniel's mother is Judith. She's one of the Janes. And our father is Michael, who's the lawyer in the film. So it's a very, very close connection. Something I feel prideful about. And yes, a story we've long known and has taken on, unfortunately, new meaning.
I was going to ask Tia, how did the possibility that Roe could fall affect your filmmaking or the process of the story you were telling?
Well, I mean, I think the writing was on the wall, but, you know, it's pretty devastating that more than a half century later, we're fighting these same battles all over again. You know, certainly the present day informed every step of, you know, the interviews and the editing of the film. And little could we predict that the 50th anniversary of the arrest of the women in this underground network, the Janes, to the day, that was the day that the Supreme Court's draft opinion was leaked to Politico. So that timing was pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. Emma, before the Janes, what options existed for women in Chicago seeking an abortion?
I mean, well, one of the big revelations for us when we were making this film was the mob involvement in Chicago in the abortion racket. I guess it makes sense. It's profitable and it's preying on, you know, a group of people that don't have a lot of options. But it's horrifying to think that the exploitation of women seeking basic health care became, you know, was that much on the black market.
Tia, you interviewed some doctors who worked in Chicago emergency rooms during this period. What did they tell you about the kinds of post-abortion complications that they saw?
Well, in every city in this country, not just Chicago, there were these wards, they called them septic abortion wards, where women went who had either taken matters into their own hands and tried to self-induce abortions and injured themselves in the process, or people who fell victim to unskilled or unscrupulous abortionists. And so these wards were crowded in Chicago at the Cook County Hospital. The doctor who was in residence there told us that every day a woman would die. And they were brought in disproportionately. They were black women, women of color. They were low income women who couldn't afford to fly to New York or to London or to other places where abortion was legal. So, you know, it's pretty devastating to hear of these. Of course, within a year of Roe v. Wade, these septic abortion wards were shut down all over the country. They weren't needed anymore.
So now that we understand the environment and the atmosphere, Emma, how did the Janes first begin? Who were the first women who thought maybe we can organize an effort here?
You know, as a lot of these kinds of grassroots movements come together, it's sort of, you know, was bit by bit. But Heather Booth was the founding member. She's a remarkable human being who did an incredible amount of organizing and has not stopped to this day. She is still a force of nature. And, you know, she started this because a friend's sister was needed help. It was just helping a friend. A moral, decent human being that felt like she could do something for someone that was in need. And then it sort of became more and more and more, and more people were reaching out to her, and it became clear to her how big this issue was and how many people were suffering and how many people needed help. And so, you know, these women came out of civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, different student organizations. So they had a lot of organizing ability, and they got to work in quite an organized fashion, building up this network to help women in Chicago.
Yeah, Tia, it's interesting. So they picked the name Jane, the Janes, and you call Jane, and then you go to, did you go to the place first? They had all these sort of code name, very generic code names. Tia, could you walk us through what happened to a woman if she had heard about the Janes and needed their help?
Sure. I mean, it was a really well-organized, infinitely resourceful group of women who created this network. So they posted the phone number in, you know, public places all around the city. They took out ads in the newspapers. And so the first, you know, thing that a person would do would be call the number on the and they would talk to a friendly person on the other line offering help. They'd often meet in person and be counseled about, you know, what the procedure would look like, and really step through every bit of the day. And then they would schedule an appointment, and they would be given the address of what they called the front, which was essentially a waiting room. There were boyfriends and husbands, there were children, there people brought, you know, help and support. And then they would be ferried one by one to, you know, another part of town where the procedure took place. They had to do all this in secret, of course, because abortion was criminalized in Illinois and most of the country. And the providers were subject to criminal prosecution and potential jail, prison sentences. So it was a pretty secretive operation. But that said, it became sort of an open secret in the city of Chicago, and women in need, you know, flocked to Jane.
We're discussing the documentary The Janes with its directors, Tia Lesson and Emma Pildes. The screening at the part of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival on May 26th at 7 p.m. It will premiere on HBO and HBO Max on June 8th at 9 p.m. There's this interesting moment, Emma, in the film when you discuss how New York legalizes abortion, and then the sort of the makeup of the women seeking out the Janes changes to women of color and poor women, people who couldn't necessarily get to New York, I should say. And this group was run by mostly white, educated, middle-class, upper-middle-class women. Let's listen to a little bit of a clip from the film about this part of the story, and we can talk about it on the other side. This is from The Janes.
When New York legalized abortion in 1970, that meant that all those white college students who could see themselves getting on a plane and flying to New York and getting an abortion and flying back did that. That's what really changed the demographics of who called Jane.
It was really the lower middle class and the poor women who were stuck. If you have other kids, If you don't have the money, it was hard to do.
A decent one-bedroom apartment in Chicago was going for about $150 a month. Illegal abortions cost between $500 and $600.
Women of color were just kind of on the outs because they couldn't afford it. And to me, that was just outrageous.
That is from the Janes. Emma, what did this moment reveal about the Janes and to the women themselves?
Yeah, the thing is, I have to say, listening to that clip now, you know, post SCOTUS leak, it's not something we didn't know, but it's sort of it's upsetting in my bones in a whole new way, because this is what's going to happen again. If you go state by state and you don't have a law of the land protecting women and protecting women's bodily autonomy and basic health care and access to health care, the people that are going to get left out are people that can't travel, that don't have resources, that don't have childcare, that can't take, you know, time off of work, underserved communities. And to dole out healthcare on that basis is so unjust. It's just hard to listen to. It's going to be the exact same issue.
Tia, for people who don't have the visuals, can you describe about the age of the women who we are talking about, their age now? And I was curious if they had anything that they would have told their younger selves.
Well, the Janes at that time, you know, were between the ages of 19 and 35 or 40. You know, so most of them are in their 70s and 80s now. You know, their grandmothers, their aunts, many are in retirement. They're in sewing circles and quilt makers, you know. I think there's not much that their younger selves might have listened to at the time. They were pretty strong-willed people. Mm-hmm. None of them have regrets. I mean, they are, you know, very confident in knowing that they help women in need. And I think in the five-year period that they were running this network, they helped about 11,000 women, you know, in the city of Chicago, which was kind of a drop in the bucket, you know, given how many women really, you know, were desperate at that point and needed medical care.
Emma, where did race come into this? Because that is a little bit, that is addressed somewhat in the film, where one of the Janes says, I'm sure we said things that were really inappropriate at the time, but they were well-meaning, but clearly some of their clientele was very different than their experiences, their life experience.
Yeah, I mean, the woman that said that was 19 years old at the time, mm-hmm. you know? So I think, it was all complicated, and they were doing the best they could to help these women, to recognize that everybody's from different maybe neighborhoods or moments in their life, but that their pursuit here was to solve a problem for women, one woman at a time, to make them feel safe and not judged. And so it was a righteous pursuit, even though it was complicated. And it was very important to Tia and I to have that, you know, be part of this film and to not, you know, glaze over it. You know, we were in the middle of a health crisis when we were making this film. You know, we started production in January of 2020, and we were seeing, you know, underserved communities suffering disproportionately during that. So we wanted to talk about it. We wanted to be honest about it. We were incredibly grateful for the women to speak honestly, mm-hmm. and to say it was complicated, to say they didn't do it perfectly, but they sure as heck tried.
We're talking about the film The Janes. Its directors are Tia Lesson and Emma Pildes. Tia, you know, there are doctors that are profiled in the film. There are abortionists. A man who ended up performing many of the abortions for The Janes was not a doctor. He's an interesting figure. What did the women tell you about why they he was on board. And what did he tell you about why he was on board?
Well, you know, the first person that the Janes contacted to help them with the abortions was a doctor by the name of T.R.M. Howard. Mm-hmm. He was a licensed professional. He had fled Mississippi. He had been a civil rights leader there, and he was championing justice for Emmett Till, and had worked with Mamie Till, and was really subject to death threats, and fled Mississippi and went to Chicago and set up a medical practice. And that was the first person that the Janes turned to. And he, you know, gave really good compassionate care in a clinic with nurses. And then he was taken out by the Chicago police. They arrested him 2, 3, 4 times. And so he was no longer available, and other physicians, you know, wouldn't mm-hmm. necessarily take the risk that he did. They were risking prison sentences. They were risking losing their medical licenses. They found another person. They thought he was a doctor. He presented himself as a doctor. In fact, he wasn't. He'd been a construction worker and learned how to perform abortions from a surgeon. And, you know, by all accounts, you know, he was very good at it, and he was compassionate, and he was good with, you know, the patients. And when they found out he was not a doctor, it sort of caused a bit of a crisis in the organization. But one woman said, well, you know, if he can do it, we can do it. You know, it's a relatively simple medical procedure done well under safe conditions. We know now that abortions are safer than tonsillectomies and colonoscopies. So they were able to, you know, get the equipment, get the supplies that enabled them to do safe procedures. And, you know, their track record was quite good. No one died under their care.
And in our final moment, Emma, how did these women at the time grapple with the fact that they could be arrested? And some of them were.
Yeah, it didn't matter. This is a group of deeply moral human beings that feel a lot of responsibility for, you know, their fellow humans on Earth. Women were dying and suffering and feeling alone. Young women, women that were already in vulnerable situations. And I think the idea of knowing that and letting that happen in the world was much worse to them than, you know, possible arrest or, you know, but the stakes were high. I mean, when they got busted, it was possibly 110 years each that they could have gone to jail. They were saved by Roe passing and becoming the law of the land. But they weren't willing to let people suffer.
The name of the film is The Janes. It is screening at the Human Rights Watch Film Festival on May 26th at 7 p.m. It premieres on HBO and HBO Max on June 8th at 9 p.m. I've been speaking with its directors, Tia Lesson and Elma Pildes. Again, the film is called The Janes, and it is definitely, definitely worth watching. Thank you so much for joining us and for making this film.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Allison.